The Carolina Panthers are sending Deontay Johnson to the Baltimore Ravens. So Kansas City goes out, gets an edge rusher, and D-Hop. Baltimore says, okay, we'll play that game. We'll go get a better receiver, Deontay Johnson.
And now Mahomes looking right. Now the back of the end zone, caught! DeAndre Hopkins, welcome to the Chiefs' kingdom! Your first kingdom touchdown!
The Chiefs should be concerned about this game. At every level defensively versus the Chiefs' offense, the Texans should win. Advantage Texans because you've already gotten used to Mahomes. Chiefs should be concerned about this game.
And they give it off. Kareem Hunt lowers the shoulder and takes a Texan right into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Am I giving Houston a chance? Of course.
Chiefs look to the triangle side out route. It is caught. Touchdown. Left front pylon. Xavier Worthy is having a game.
I definitely see this O-line. It definitely has its leap holes, and it definitely has its their struggles, but you know, I feel like that we can take advantage of that. You know, we got an elite D line. You know, I feel like Pat's a little banged up, so I don't know if he's gonna play or not. But I hope he's mobile enough because we coming in Arrowhead.
You guys plan to get after that?
Yeah, for sure. Pat better make a good decision. I ain't making no threats. I'm making promises.
Mahomes on the far hash in the pocket, stepping up and trying to squeeze through, stays on his feet. 10, 5, Mahomes is into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City on that bad ankle, stepping through the pocket, running all the way to the sweet nectar of the end zone.
I feel it in the sweet nectar of my plums.
Woo!
What an open by Mr. Mac Morey. What an open.
And
well
Mr.
done,
Likens,
sir. No. I don't get any credit. It's all you, buddy. I just sat there and gave you the ideas, man. We are here. We are to Friday.
Woo!
Finally, it's Saturday, actually,
yes.
Dusty.
Oh,
Saturday.
Yeah,
Saturday.
We've been crawling along all week. I'm sure there's a lot of you that share that same energy that it's finally Friday for the Red Friday for the game on Saturday in our world. It's Friday. It's a great day. The game is tomorrow, 3:30.
Pace yourself, right?
That's right.
Pace yourself, Dusty. I thought this week flew by, to be honest with you. I don't know if you thought this was a fast week. This was our first five-day week since before Christmas. So
that's weird.
I thought it was going to be a real long, like, oh, my God, we're never going to get to the end of the week and to this game. I thought it's flown by this week, man.
This is your first five-day week at school for your kids since, Thanksgiving?
Yes, and then they don't have a five-day week next week with the holiday, and then they go back for a five-day week after that, too. So, yes, you're absolutely right. First five-day week for them is as long as it's been for us, actually.
It'd be really ironic if they were teaching them consistency right now in school.
Hey, one thing about that intro that I heard that I wanted to point to, was it Dominique Foxworth who said they're used to Mahomes now? What the hell does that mean? Used to Mahomes.
I think the sound bites were there were Colin Cowherd, Emmanuel Acho, Greg Jennings, and then Tim Settle.
Okay, because somebody,
I think that was Acho.
Was it Acho? Acho's terrible. He is like the worst person on television when it comes to takes.
But he'll
like,
get you there.
I mean, good dude, but I mean, like, his takes are terrible, right? His
so
takes
bad.
Are absolutely terrible. And you know, sometimes I wonder, you played the game? You know, when I hear some of the stuff that he has to say, used to Mahomes, what the hell does that mean?
Well, nobody knew that he played for the Eagles until it got tweeted out that he played for the Eagles.
I know him from the Texas Longhorns. That's it.
Yeah, Mac and I were sitting there yesterday putting that together. He was doing the majority of it, and I was like, did you know that he played for the Eagles? He's like, dude, I didn't even know he was in the NFL. I was like, I really didn't. I knew he was in the NFL, but I didn't know like what his tenure was. But
yeah.
Man, you love that kind of stuff before a big game on Saturday. It's our job to entertain and get you fired up.
That's right.
We are, you know, here for you because this is, you know, we're just like you. I mean, Mac and Bob are going to the game. I'm sure they've already like set up their outfits. I'm sure they put their plan together. Mac will do a show with Drew Nixon from 9 to noon. They'll do that on Saturday morning here on 96.5 the Fan. And then right after that, you get your Chiefs pregame.
Like, that's right.
Just, everything
right
is loaded right here. You don't even need to move the dial from now until
never.
Never.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you just leave it there because you'll get into Saturday, then you'll get into Sunday, then you'll get into Monday, and then we'll be here again, you know, ripping our lips on these airwaves.
Yeah, so, ripping our takes Monday morning about how we got out there and beat the Texans. The Chiefs have been a double-digit favorite 7 times this season against their opponents. Do you know what their record is in those 7 games?
6-1.
7-0. Oh, they won every game, which they were a two-score favorite. Two-score, because they're an 8-point favorite.
Eight and a half.
So a two-point favorite or two-score favorite going into this game. They haven't covered one of those games this year, but they've won every one of those games this year. And that ultimately is what matters. And you said getting ready for the game. I was texting Mac from Hy-Vee yesterday about what to get for the game. The gooey butter cake is 100% happening, right?
That is happening.
Because Hy-Vee has these gooey butter cake cookies.
Ooh. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, I had them before. Have you had these things?
That's what I told you not to do it.
Oh, my God.
You'll be back in 3 days.
Yeah. No, so I'm walking down the aisle. And I bought them one time. I think we had them at one game earlier this year. And I'm like, oh, these are really good. So I'm walking by them in the Hy-Vee yesterday. And I'm like, I know Momo's making the gooey butter cake.
Oh, yeah.
It's 100%, right? Because
it's happening.
Okay. Good, because I passed up on those gooey butter cake cookies that look absolutely and taste absolutely amazing, because I knew Momo, I can't double gooey butter cake,
right?
It's too much.
Yes.
No, but you can get them for your house.
No.
I did it one time, because at the old job, it was like on the cusp, like, hey, here real quick, you got to bring something. I was like, oh, I don't know what to bring. And I saw those. I bet these are good.
Oh, yeah.
And so I grabbed a box, and I don't think they lasted past noon.
Oh, wow.
Well, they're soft and gooey.
Oh, they're just so good. Yeah, they're delicious,
you
man.
You know you're doing wrong when you eat it. Right.
Yeah. You hate yourself, right? Yeah. Like, I know I'm going to have to run 17 miles.
They're like that dime piece in the office. You're like, just look away. Just don't do it. Just
that's
like
a
all
good
the
song.
Look away, baby, look away. Cody said he's going to have a new song come out if the Chiefs handle business in a large way. Like, if they win by a substantial.
He said, blow out or something?
We are the Texans.
Yeah.
He's going to do his version of that, but we are the Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
So
good.
Get ready for that.
Excited for that. Yeah.
They play that. I never do the thanks for listening out loud in my car by myself. But what was it? Wednesday?
Yeah.
They played that song.
Right.
On Cody and Gold. And they were both like, what is this? And I was like, thanks for listening.
Dude, we've
like,
been playing that for. You know who started playing that? Ryan started playing that.
Every time that song plays, the text line says, thanks, brother Ryan.
Yeah. Ryan played that song. Like, that was pre-COVID.
Cody was like, what is this song? Alex like, I don't know. And then Drew was like, is this a real song? And I was like, man, thanks for listening.
Play it, Mac. Get it fired up.
No,
we've been playing this song literally since like 2019, 2018. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't something that is new that just hit recently. So I think you're right to say not only thanks for listening recently, but thanks for listening for the last, I don't know, decade. Because we found this thing, and boy, every time there was something with the Texans over the years, we played this one.
Hell to the Chiro, the cinnamon and goo.
Texans love the game of football. Down here, the game is big and it's raw. So grab a chair and sit a while.
The game is raw.
And enjoy the game. Texas style.
I do love the musical and the music part of it. It's good.
We are the Texans, the Houston Texans. Big Texas skies, big Texas pride.
Go Texans, go!
And we'll fight.
How many guys in this band have a mustache or a good
Texans. Hail to the Toro, the red, white, and blue.
Everybody is
all the Texans, the Houston Texans.
Right. I don't even hear this on Red Friday. Give me a break.
So they acted like that was new?
They just had never heard it before. And I was like, oh.
I've never heard any of Cody's songs, to be honest with you.
I get it. There's people that tell me all the time, they're like, hey, your guys' show is so early. Like, I only have to listen to, I listen to the podcast at like noon. I'm like, well, at least you listen. So I appreciate that.
You can start the shows from their full on the Odyssey app, right? Mm-hmm. You can just go in, click on 96.5 The Fan, scroll down, start our show right from the beginning, no matter what time of day it is, and you can get the entire 4 hours. I would suggest doing that all day long, but that's just me.
573, I'm out in the garage working out. Stay focused, Dusty. But I'm also so ready for this team to put these national idiots back in place.
I know.
18 texts of everybody else just like ready to run through a wall with Max open there for that Texas game. I thought that was a good like piece together. Like, Deontay Johnson, the Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins. Coward, sorry.
So, I mean, Deontay Johnson is now back with Baltimore, which was a brilliant move by Baltimore because he can't play, and so they'll lose him in the offseason and get a comp pick for him. So that's a really nice play by Baltimore to do that. But that guy was with every team this year in the NFL. Mm. Clearly, it's a him problem.
I know we're kind of really transitioning to something kind of morbid, but we lost a legend yesterday.
Yeah, Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker. just a bit up high in the sky in heaven as he has passed away at the age of 90?
90. Now it came out late last night, I guess. He was battling lung cancer since 2013.
Oh, I knew he was a smoker for a long time.
Everybody was back in those days, right? I mean, oh, yeah, he's 90. He was a smoker. No kidding, because everybody in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, 80s, 90s, and today, everybody was, you know, puffing darts. But Uecker is one of those guys who's legendary. Everybody knows Bob Uecker.
Do they know him as a baseball play-by-play announcer, or do they know him from Major League?
I think they know him from everything. I think they know him from like Miller Lite commercials back in the day. I think they know him from Mr. Belvedere. I think they know him from Johnny Carson. I mean, it dates way, way back with Bob Uecker. I mean, this guy was everywhere back in the day for a guy who was never any good at baseball. And he will tell you he was never any good at baseball.
Yeah.
He did an amazing job of making a career out of who he was and everything. And everybody loved Bob, you know?
Now you got to think that, you know, the last one standing, Denny Matthews.
I mean, yeah, Denny's
in his 80s.
We lost
Ben a couple years ago.
Yeah.
We lost Uecker yesterday.
Yeah.
Denny's got to be the longest tenured baseball announcer there is in the game.
Well, I think he was prior to Uecker.
Yeah. Well, I know it was like for his own team, like one team, because it was Vin and it was Denny.
Yeah.
And Denny's the Hall of Famer as well.
Because Denny's took over day one. I mean, like Denny's literally
and
seen
never
every
gone
game.
Since.
Yeah. It had opportunities. He could have gone to the Cubs. I think the Yankees wanted Denny Matthews at one point in time, but, you know, he always
that
stayed here.
Number two, Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Number two. Doesn't have the same ring to it. You got to keep them separate.
Yeah.
Ball outside to Ibanez, Royals down 4-1. Like, you got to keep that in Kansas City and keep now batting for the Yankees. Number two, Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Number two.
Bob Shepard, the voice of God.
That is just an iconic voice.
It is. It's one of the most iconic voices of all time. He used to do Giants football, too. So he was the PA for Giants football and Yankee
touchdown
baseball.
Pass to number seven.
Oh, it was like Sims to Bavaro, touchdown.
Yeah, it's crazy how those sort of people are so, I don't know if that's influential. I know when I met Denny for the first time, it was hilarious. I told the story where we took a selfie together. I said, can we take a selfie? And that wouldn't be a selfie, Dusty. It'd be two of us. Selfies one. Okay. Let's do this.
Awesome.
I was a young, inspiring college student that I haven't met. Him and Bob Davis and Wyatt Thompson. Those were the three guys I met in one day. And I was like, I don't know if it gets any better than this with like these guys being so genuine. But this was Bob Uecker's last call in baseball.
Well, New York down. They did it. And the crew will have it end here tonight.
Really a crushing end to what was a fabulous season for the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it. Milwaukee Brewers baseball has been brought to you in part by...
We don't know. Hey, nobody's listening anyway.
But I will say, I think that was the game that Pete Alonso hit.
It was.
Damn, Pete Alonso always ruined it for everybody.
I know. Now Pete Alonso doesn't have a job.
There's a stadium here in Kansas City that he could probably make small.
Yeah, we'll probably take Pete Alonso, right?
They all love him.
So that guy on the broadcast with him, Jeff Levering is his name. And I stumbled upon an interview with him from last night on... Channel 6, I think it was, in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And this was the quote that Jeff Levering gave. He says, as soon as I said, so long, we'll talk to you next spring, I took my headset off and cried like I haven't cried in a really, really long time. He knew that was probably Bob's last game. Now, they never told anybody that Bob Uecker was sick, so the fans didn't know. We didn't understand.
I love that way.
Yeah, I do, but
it's
I always
happened
think,
more recently than we've seen.
Yeah, it really has, where you just kind of go out and don't tell anybody and kind of do your thing and whatnot. So, look, he's 90 years old. He's entitled to his privacy.
It's a hell of a life, man.
It's a hell of a life to live. He lived a great life. Like, I think Bob Uecker, as we talked about earlier in the week, like, you'd love to be Travis Kelce if you're a guy. Like, if you're a dude, like, if you would have traded lives with Bob Uecker, live to 90, be an actor, be a baseball player, be an announcer, kind of a cool gig, man. Like, that guy lived life to the fullest. And so that's really sad to kind of look back and hear these stories now that everybody kind of knew he wasn't going to be back for another year of Brewers baseball. It's really sad, man. But that's baseball. That's why baseball is different than everything else. It has that emotional side to it, man.
No doubt. Coming up on the other side, we will get into a Legacy Sunday. And don't forget, divisional round coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Good news on the Kansas side. 435 westbound before Metcalf. Accident from the overnight hours had three right lanes blocked, and they've just cleared this. So delays are unwinding. You're still seeing slowdowns around Roe, but improving quickly. From the Anthony Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric Traffic Center, Alan Carr, 96.5 The Fan Traffic.
You ready? You ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Welcome to the Red Kingdom.
Yeah.
Red Kingdom.
Welcome to the
Red Kingdom.
Sorry. Is there anybody at Arrowhead yet waiting to get into the stadium?
I don't know. Isn't it a little bit early for that? I mean, the gates don't open until 11 o'clock tomorrow.
I picked up my beer for the game tomorrow.
Well, that's different. You're running errands throughout the week and whatnot.
I got 2 4-packs of Cutwaters.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
You got to get those for the tailgate, baby. Because all you need is 2 of those daddies and you'll be set. 13% alcohol, 1 can.
Wow.
Ain't done.
That's a big one, huh?
Honestly, yeah, since I'm coming late after the extended pregame, I'm going to have to catch up. That may be what I need.
Catch up?
Come late.
Catch up.
Ketchup's on sale at Hy-Vee. I had to buy some yesterday.
Do you have a go-to ketchup? Are you a Heinz guy? Because my wife is like, it's Heinz. No. I'm like, no, Whataburger spicy ketchup is where we're at.
I like the... just whatever's on sale. Like, if it's $1.99, I'm getting that ketchup.
I'm with you.
It's 99 cents, coming home with me, man. Yep. And a package that I have left over from, like, Burger King, using that ketchup.
I'm not
a huge ketchup guy in general. I like it on a few things, but no, I don't really have a – I mean, if you're a ketchup snob, then, like, we're probably not friends.
Yeah, she's like, we only have Heinz. I'm like, it all tastes the same. Then you start to sample the ketchups, and you're like, okay, like that house recipe stuff that they have, not that good.
Now, I'd probably be, like, pretty bougie if I could make my own ketchup. That'd be, But I'd probably put that, like, spicy ketchup from Whataburger on, like, a meatloaf if I made it.
See, that'd probably be good. Yeah, that spicy ketchup from Whataburger is good on anything.
Oh,
man.
I believe it.
I mean, it is fantastic.
You dip a nugget in that.
I tell you, I've made stuff just to use the ketchup before. I'm like, I have a craving for this Whataburger spicy ketchup, right. Tots, you know, or whatever I've got in the house, because that's how good that ketchup really is. So anyway, you know, it's red, so we'll have that all over us. I got 2 bottles of whiskey at the Hy-Vee liquor store yesterday. So Mac, we'll have some waiting for you. Woo. When you get out there.
Let's go.
Now, you said that gooey butter cake was coming, right? Because I passed those gooey butter cake cookies up still.
It's happening.
Making sure. Okay.
Momo's got it.
Okay, good.
Mac's going to look like Steve Buscemi from Big Daddy by the time this game ends. Eyes going all certain ways. Hey, crazy eyes. Or maybe, yeah. Anyway, speaking of catch up, some guys really need to catch up when it comes to legacy, when it comes to Patrick Mahomes and everybody else. Those guys this weekend, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. Also, we can start with the head coach of Buffalo, Sean McDermott, because we were talking yesterday in our post-production meeting. What's their big playoff win? Like, what's Buffalo's where it was like, that's a big one?
Yeah, Josh Allen does not have a big playoff win, and neither does Sean McDermott. This weekend will be a big playoff win. You're a home underdog. You beat Lamar in Baltimore. That's a big playoff win.
Yeah.
But right now, where we sit, what has Sean McDermott done to solidify himself as a big game coach or his legacy or anything like that? Like, he has a big hole on his resume when it comes to, you know, accomplishments. They've done some nice things, but they don't have a big playoff win. You're right about that. Like, beating, you know, the New England Patriots with Bailey Zappi was the quarterback at that point in time.
Yeah,
you know, beating, you know, Buffalo or Cincinnati. Okay, maybe. But still, I mean, that's not a big-time playoff win. Sean McDermott is trending to be the Marty Schottenheimer of the Buffalo Bills.
That's
and
good.
I think it once you get to a certain level, can we get to that next level? And obviously, Marty could never get over that hump, whether it be here or Washington or San Diego or even Cleveland back in the day. He was never able to get over that hump. And it was really self-inflicted on Marty. He was the reason why a lot of this stuff happened here in Kansas City. I can't speak for Cleveland and the fumble and the drive and all that kind of stuff in those 2 years. But here in Kansas City, he was the reason why it didn't work. And all the players will tell you, once the playoffs got here, Marty changed. And as each year went by and they weren't winning, he changed even more and got tighter and tighter and tighter. I wonder if Sean McDermott's going through that same type of thing right now, because how many years in a row have they been to the playoffs with Josh Allen? Like 6 or whatever it's been?
They've been the 2 seed 3 straight.
Three straight. And they haven't done anything with it. And so you look at Buffalo and you think to yourself, boy, is Sean McDermott, like, has he peaked? Has Sean McDermott peaked as a head coach in the National Football League? And if they get knocked out on Sunday to Baltimore, I think serious questions need to be had in Buffalo and saying, yeah, we're really good, but can we be better? Can we be better than where we are? Can Sean McDermott be the guy to get us over the hump? The answer to that question is you stick with him because I don't know who else you're going to go out there and get at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, we look at this game and it's massive, right? Like, super excited to watch this game, even more so if the Chiefs can take care of business against Houston. That game's Sunday afternoon, and it is intriguing to think about because if we bring that sort of energy towards Mike Tomlin, who's been doing it for, I don't know, 17 years in Pittsburgh, but has the 8-11 playoff record, you know, we talked about Mike McCarthy yesterday, who's 12-12 in the playoffs. Those guys, they win in the regular season. They did it for a while.
Right.
And Sean McDermott's only been doing it for what, 6 years, 7 years?
That's what I'm saying. I think he's like 6 or 7 years with Josh Allen now.
Yeah. And like you had said, like, we're getting to that point where it's like, yeah, the regular season's great, but like, that's, we're done with that because you look at where Buffalo came from pre Josh Allen, right?
Mm-hmm.
All these teams just got waxed and murdered by the Patriots. And then it was like, you know, every once in a while the Dolphins were good and Buffalo was always the laughing stock because they couldn't get over the hump. They couldn't get the coach, couldn't get the quarterback. JP Lawson wasn't the answer.
No, he was not.
Right. Kyle Orton wasn't the answer.
He was not.
Hell of a guy. Not
Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't the answer.
But not the guy.
Right.
And you know, you look at this game and what this season is to Buffalo. Once again, you have beaten the Chiefs in the regular season. You have probably the MVP of the league. Your team completely gutted itself to kind of get to a point where they could just kind of get rid of distractions. You know, no Gabe Davis, no Stephon Diggs, a lot of guys, you know, just different around. And you built this team around your leader, which they call Superman and Josh Allen. And that head coach of yours, Sean McDermott, who's supposed to be an offensive guy under the Andy Reid tree, we talked about earlier this week as well. And I think this is the year. And when you say Sean McDermott peaked, he's got to keep going.
Yeah.
Now, if he fizzles out against Baltimore, which a lot of people think are going to happen, including Vegas, I think Buffalo wins this game.
I don't know. I really do. Ask me in 5 minutes. I'll have a different answer for you, right?
And I think if he wins this game, that then solidifies Buffalo's biggest win in a playoff
It'll be their biggest win under Sean McDermott and Josh Allen.
Without a doubt. And then if you think about it, you have to then double down and
get
your next biggest win against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
And then you have to go get your next biggest win.
So, and that's why I think things, pressure-wise, aren't really there for guys like Patrick Mahomes because they got out of the way early.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did they do it once, they've done it twice. Not only did they do it twice, they've done it three times. Now they're going for a three-peat. And nobody's really talking about the significance of it because it's not really there yet for the national media. I think they need to get to the AFC Championship game, and then everybody of the national stage will be like, now we're chasing history.
Right.
Here we go.
We need to get past this Buffalo-Baltimore game for people to recognize the Chiefs still are a team.
Which is insane
because
you have a team that hasn't played in 3 weeks. Everybody's been pining to watch. Sorry, defensive guy McDermott, not offensive guy.
Defensive coordinator.
And the thing about that is that when you look at this game against Buffalo and Baltimore, now we flip the side, right? Now we go to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big game for John Harbaugh. Like, hey, man, you lost in the AFC Championship game last year to Patrick Mahomes. You get a pass, right? Like,
right.
Mahomes will give you that. Like, it was Mahomes. But you go back and look at that game, and, you know, Todd Monken gets away from the run. They get out of character because they don't know what they want to do because Patrick Mahomes out there just dicing them up. Big game for Lamar Jackson.
Huge game for Lamar. I think it's a much bigger game for Lamar than it is for John Harbaugh, though.
For sure. I think the quarterback's a bigger game than the coaches.
Sean McDermott, I think, still, like, Harbaugh's got that Super Bowl. He's, I think, been to another Super Bowl. No, he hasn't been to another.
He's been to one.
Beat his brother. Yeah, that's right. They haven't been to another one. But he's got that Super Bowl.
It was so bad they killed the lights.
Remember that?
Yeah.
The power went out.
And then San Francisco came back. It was like,
Yeah, right.
Because Baltimore's up big. Lights go out. San Francisco comes back. You're like, we've got a game.
Right. Oh, all of a sudden, this is how we're going to do it for TV. And that was at the Superdome, too. So we may have the lights shut out on us when we go down to New Orleans this year for our Super Bowl. But I think when you're like ranking, like, who's it big for this weekend, there's three guys. It's Sean McDermott. It's Josh Allen. It's Lamar Jackson.
In that order?
I don't know. You know, like,
I'm sorry.
I don't know. No, I think it's easier to move away from a coach than it is a quarterback, right? Like, Sean McVay needs to start, or Sean McDermott needs to start showing that they can win in the postseason because it eventually does come back on you. Your team, when they play, is a product of you as the head coach. And if you as the head coach are tense and tight and, you know, wearing this, like, this is, oh my God, we've got to win this game, then your team's going to play that way because they're going to take that from the head coach and they're not going to be at their best. You've got to be relaxed and free and clear going into this game. So for McDermott, it's huge. Josh Allen, it's huge. For Lamar, it's huge because Lamar still hasn't beaten anybody big time in the postseason as well, you know?
Yeah, what's Baltimore's biggest one? Did we talk about that yesterday? They beat somebody pretty.
They beat the one seed Titans at Tennessee. You know, okay.
Big win, but not massive. Yeah,
but come on. I mean, we're talking about Ryan Tannehill. They beat the Texans last year, which, okay, fine. That was a game.
Was a
but that's not a rookie
big
game. Not at all. And then they beat Pittsburgh this year, and we know what that was.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, but see, I think if you're Lamar, if you're Josh, if you're Patrick, and if you're Joe Burrow, who's not in the playoffs, by the way, just so you know.
But he's done it.
He's
got that significant win.
Yeah, like those four guys.
And look what that does to you. Look, hold on real quick.
Oh, I know.
Look what that one win 3.5 years ago does to you. It gives you that much leeway.
Yeah.
McDermott, Lamar, Josh, if they can beat Patrick Mahomes one time ever, it gives you at least a 3-year cushion.
No, it gives you a big cushion in that. So I don't think Joe Burrow is in that conversation because he's done it. But for Lamar, for Josh Allen, and for Sean McDermott, this is a major weekend when it comes to their legacy because you know what the conversation is going to be. Like, I can predict these national shows now. Monday morning, Baltimore loses. They're talking about can Lamar win the big one? And maybe Lamar is not the best quarterback out there. They lose or they win, and Buffalo loses. They're talking about the head coach up there. Maybe they should move on from him. Josh Allen needs more help. You know how it's all going to be, you know, come Monday morning. So I think for Lamar, it's the biggest game because you're now going on the road as a favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go up to Buffalo and win that game. Show the world that you can win on the road in the postseason and just win a postseason game because I think the world believes that Baltimore and Lamar Jackson can't win the big one. And you go to Buffalo and you win that game, that's a big one. And then you got to flip back and play the Kansas City Chiefs, who already have an extra day's rest at Arrowhead in a week.
Dr. Mackenstein, bigger game. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, McDermott.
I think McDermott. I think Bob's right. I think Lamar next, and then I think Josh Allen. I think we were talking about coaches. We brought up John Harbaugh. You mentioned Todd Monken. I think it's a bigger game for Todd Monken. I mean, ran four times in the AFC Championship in the second half, completely abandoned it.
But nobody remembers the offensive coordinators, man. It's head coach and quarterback. Like, if they don't win this game, nobody's going to be saying, Todd Monken, man, he's the reason why.
I mean, in today's game, they do. That's all we've talked about all year is offensive coordinators.
Yeah,
Joe Brady, Kingsbury, the guy from Detroit, Todd Monken.
Yeah, I just
Nagy think, gets a lot of talk.
But I just think, you know, you're a coordinator, man. Like, you don't really have a legacy.
Because Harbaugh's a special teams coach.
Yeah.
Like, if we're talking about how, you know, McDermott's a defensive-minded guy.
Yeah.
Harbaugh's, you know, he was the special teams guy. And then Dave Tobe took over.
Right.
It was a long time before that. But I think you're right. I think this is a big game for Monken because he is the guy that's supposed to, like, tell Harbaugh this is what we're going to do. He's got Lamar in his back pocket. And you know, that's why they went and got Derrick Henry.
I think it becomes a big game for a coordinator when you're over your head coach, or not over your head coach, but like you love your head coach, you love your quarterback, they've done stuff, and then you get this new offensive coordinator in here and things change, right? That's where I think an offensive coordinator comes into play. I don't think anybody's talking about legacy of Todd Monken. Most sports fans probably don't even know who that guy is.
No,
right?
not legacy, but job.
Oh, job. Yeah. Oh, job.
Job on the line.
Oh, so if they don't play well offensively, you think they fire him?
Well, it'll be a second season, and we know how last season ended.
Yeah.
And if the story's offense again, and what the hell did we do? Why did our game plan get thrown out the window?
Jose Flowers again.
It's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough for Monken. You guys brought up something that made me think of a question. How long does the leeway last that you mentioned with Joe Burrow? We're at 3.5 years now. Is that in next year?
No, it's over.
I mean, it's done now. Okay.
You get 3 years, I think.
Okay.
I think you get 3 years because you get the following year, which is like, remember what he did last year?
Yep,
you beat him.
Yep.
Then, you know, after that year, you get the next year, which is, well, he is one of the only ones that beat him. And then by year three, it's like, okay, now you got to keep doing it. And when you don't, then it's like, all right, and that's now, at least in my opinion.
But it's weird because I was driving in today listening to Ben, and he had this guy call in and talk about Tom Brady not being the GOAT and whatnot, which, fine, you want to argue that, sure. But they were saying, like how long are we going to hold on to, Trent Dilfer? He won one Super Bowl. Like, is he better than Dan Marino and Dan Fouts and whatnot? I'm like, well, I mean, we have switched to where we judge coaches and quarterbacks solely on what they've done in the postseason, right? So Joe Burrow will always get credit for beating Patrick Mahomes, but he didn't finish the deal.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't win the Super Bowl. It's a different conversation if you go and complete the task and win the Super Bowl and take care of business. Joe Burrow didn't do that. He just gets credit for beating Patrick Mahomes, and because it hardly ever happens, we hearken back to that one all the time, right?
Right.
Like, that's the last time we lost in the playoffs, wasn't it?
Mm, yeah. Yeah. 2022?
Yeah.
No, 21.
Yeah. 21. Yeah. 21. 21.
Somebody says Joe Burrow should shoot his way out of Cincinnati like Carson Palmer. I wouldn't do that. You got a pretty good team over there.
Yeah.
You just got to get some defensive players and maybe just not give up 40 points a game.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do this offseason. Do they re-sign their guys?
I'm going to see what they draft. Because I think they're going to sign everybody. I think they're just going to say, screw it.
It'll be totally not what they do, because that's the cheapest organization in the NFL.
The way that we feel joyful and triumphant about the Chiefs, it is the opposite with every other franchise in the AFC. They are so effing tired of it.
Oh, I know they
are. They are going to do whatever it costs. And that means you sign T. Higgins, you sign Jamar Chase. I saw Buffalo last year. They were like, you know what? We saw the Chiefs do this with their star quarterback. We don't need these distraction wide receivers. We don't need these sort of like rifts in our system. Let's just let our quarterback be the guy, and we'll get a good offensive coordinator around him, or we'll get a good defensive coach, and we'll do all this sort of stuff, and we'll let him go that route. Baltimore, I mean, same thing.
Right.
They went and drafted Zay Flowers. They went and signed Derrick Henry, and they had the MVP quarterback.
That's
and they went and got one of the best running backs you've ever seen in your life.
But they also have an owner that wants to win and is willing to spend. Yeah. I don't know that I don't know that Mike Brown wants to win. There are a lot of owners in professional sports, I hate to break the news to you, that just want to cash checks, and they don't care about winning. Cincinnati has shown over the years, since Mike Brown has been in charge, which is forever, they don't really care about winning. They don't invest in their product. And so if they sign everybody this offseason, that's a 180 from what they normally have done as an organization. They're known as one of the cheapest organizations in the NFL, if not the cheapest organization in the NFL. So we'll see if Mike Brown wants to win. If they sign T. Higgins and bring their guys back and Jamar Chase and all that kind of stuff, then yeah, okay, then you want to win. If they let, you know, Jamar Chase walk, I mean, I don't know if you really want to win.
And I understand, and I know that Cincinnati's franchise has been cheap in the history, but it's not every time generational talent comes into your front door. And normally when that happens, people tend to stay. And an example I'll give you is in your backyard. How many Kansas City Royals fans are like, they're not going to sign Bobby Witt. They never signed superstars. What happened? Mm-hmm. They gave Bobby Witt Jr. a ton of money.
New ownership, though.
Correct. Either way, they gave Bobby Witt Jr. money. And even with new ownership, the narrative around town was, hell, our insider said he probably wasn't going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they signed him. And that's not a shot at Vern. That's just what we've seen in the history of the Kansas City Royals. Just like what you see in the history of Cincinnati Bengals. You now have a generational talent in Joe Burrow. You also have Jamar Chase. You have a chance that changes your mind whether you like it or not.
Or they can say, we've got a generational talent in Joe Burrow. Sorry, man, you're going to have to find your own wide receivers just like Patrick Mahomes did and just like Tom Brady did. Now, not everybody can do that. You know, not everybody can do that.
Yeah, but also had a generational league. Tight end as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, no doubt.
Head coach.
No question.
Quarterback. There's a lot of like outliers.
They've got a generational weapon.
Yeah.
They do have one.
They do. And that's Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase. But I don't know if they're going to, or if he wants to be there. You know, he's going to hit free agency. They'll probably franchise tag him, which will make it even worse. I mean, that's going to be one of the cringeworthy way off seasons, I think, is watching the Bengals and Jamar Chase and that whole thing go down. And really? So I think they would franchise Jamar Chase.
Real quickly, who's the biggest legacy game for the Chiefs?
I think it's Patrick Mahomes. And the
to
reason
keep the divisional round numbers?
Well, not only that, just to continue this march towards the three-peat. I think winning the three-peat is the greatest thing we could ever see in the NFL right now, because it's never been done before.
Not this year, just like in general for
in
the
general,
run.
Yeah, the run. I think the more he wins in the postseason, the greater his legacy grows. And so for me, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's all about him for this legacy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really easy answer for me. I'd go the other easy one, which would be Travis Kelce.
He's going to keep playing, too. Taylor Swift said she loves it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting the feeling
but Stephen A. Smith said he's going to retire. Yeah. So girlfriend says continue to play. Stephen A. Smith says retire.
And Travis also said some stuff in that podcast that could have indicated the other side, too, that he may really hang it up. And I'm kind of getting that feeling, too. He is so close to multiple of Jerry Rice's playoff records. If he can do that this playoff and cement his already fantastic legacy, I think that's huge.
Look, you just gave me the goosebumps because I think Travis Kelce's going to have a postseason that, I mean, I'm shaking right now. Like
what, that he had last year? The year
better,
before that?
Better.
Last year like, maybe his best postseason.
I know, it was fantastic. He had the extra game last year.
355 yards?
I think you're going to know Travis Kelce was here in the postseason. Like, I think this is going to be real and spectacular.
Way to steal Stink's take. I'm kidding.
Who?
Stink.
Stank?
Whatever his name is.
Stink, stank, stunk.
That's how you know this show's working.
Oh, you know, I've only been saying Travis Kelce's good for the last 2 years and defending every AH that said he was washed. I don't know where Travis Kelce's been. It's October, sir.
Yeah, he said, I expect Travis Kelce to go completely off in the playoffs because he always does. When they're like, oh, 2 weeks ago, he's like, I don't know about the Chiefs, man.
This is not a good team. What did Stank say last week about the Chiefs?
I don't know. You have it in the system.
Do I have it somewhere? Do I have to find it again? Do you guys remember what he said? Like, that's. I mean, it was only a week ago, but I mean, Stank had something stanky to say about the Chiefs last week. I got to find it now.
I don't know. It's a pretty big legacy run for Kareem Hunt, in my opinion. After everything he missed, after everything he went through because of his own fault.
Sure.
And then he comes back to the team, helps out in a way, wants a Super Bowl more than ever. And, like, if they do win in New Orleans, I will see exactly what his celebration is. Because I bet he collapses and cries, in my opinion. And I think that's one of these things. It's like, this is why he came to this team. This is why he's played the way he's played. He literally effed up super bad in his past. He condoned it. He got right. He got his mind right. He turned his life around.
Yep.
And, you know, you go win a Super Bowl, it makes it all worth it in the end to, like, go through those troubles that you went through to try to get over the being the bad person you are. Like, is it worth it what I'm doing? Is it worth it that I'm staying inside? Is it worth it that I gave up booze? Is it worth it that I, you know, tarnished my career, looked myself in the mirror and said, you're a bad person? You win a Super Bowl, it's all worth it with the team that took you in for a second shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be great to see Kareem Hunt kind of come full circle and win that thing, man. That would be kind of cool because I think you're right. He probably will collapse on the field.
Oh, yeah. Looked like Mahomes last year after he did it with that 11-6 record and shouting at the moon and all that, and just did the Michael Jordan on the sidelines.
Have you ever been, like, to a point where you had that just, oh, and you just collapsed because you were so exhausted, mentally fried, just, and you just collapsed like that? Because I don't know that
if I last 5 minutes.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever been in that situation, though, with like where Patrick Mahomes was in that game.
Probably when Speck told me.
Yeah.
About the position. Okay. I probably got my car and just, like, melted. I mean, I grinded up here for like 8 years.
Yeah.
And then to get that message, like, you never know if it's going to happen. Then you get it and you're like, oh, my God. Like, I almost collapsed in your arms when you guys were out there like jerks that knew the whole time. And then you waited for me to come out of the door. I'm like, you guys.
I was told I wasn't allowed to say anything.
Wasn't allowed to say,
I can't find Stank's cut.
We'll find it. We don't need to play it. He sucks.
he does.
Don't forget today at 11:30, Rob and Carrington are dropping off more playoff T-shirts outside our building. 11:30, thanks to our friends at DM Law. You know Mike's got this. Coming up on the other side, Deion Sanders to Dallas. I'm almost guaranteeing you it's going to happen because of what we know now. And please, for all that is holy for our job, let it happen. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back at it on a Red Friday in the 6 o'clock hour. Everybody's probably starting to wake up, get the coffee. A
lot of traffic moving right now.
Yep. Yeah, man, everybody's excited to go to work today because it's the last day of the week. And then you get the game tomorrow at 3:30. What a perfect time for a Chiefs game. Don't forget, Mac Morey, Drew Nixon, they'll be on the air on 96.5 The Fan at 9 a.m. until noon. I think we're all going to dive into that show as well. I'm going to get a call from a number I don't know and just ignore it because I've been scammed. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to text me what time to call and what number because I don't. If it's not in my phone, I don't answer. Sorry. Or it doesn't ring, I should say.
Right. No, so interesting news yesterday because it, and I know this is being talked about by a ton of people because even these buddies that I'm in a group text with, I have no idea how I got in this group text, but one of the guys is from Chicago. One of these other guys live in neighborhoods with a buddy that I grew up in school with. Either way, they're like, Dusty, is it true that Deion could go to Dallas? And I was like, well, I read a tweet from Ed Warder, who's, you know, up Dallas's ass like Sal Palantonio is with the Philadelphia Eagles. They only report on those two teams, right? Regarding Deion Sanders from Ed Warder, I'm being told that he would almost certainly accept it if Jerry Jones offers to make him the next Cowboys head coach.
I love the buzzword in there, almost certainly. So yeah. If it doesn't happen, Warder can say, well, I said it was almost.
That those around him are encouraging him to pursue it and that Jones is enamored with the idea.
Of course. Basically, wait, those around who are considering pursuing him to do it?
Deion. Like his support group's like, dude, well, Dallas, go do it.
Colorado, like, in college, right, or Dallas in the NFL. And you're taking the Dallas job. job.
And I think there's a couple of storylines within this topic. One being that everybody's like, do you think that Deion will stay in Colorado? We all knew, and I knew this from when he went there. And you know me, I got the Prime hoodie. I thought it was an awesome story. I think it's great still.
100% with
you. Yeah, and then everyone's like, you know he'll leave Colorado. I'm like, well, yeah, so duh. For sure it will happen. They're like, well, what will his next move be? And I could honestly tell you, I said it will either be Florida State or it'll be the Cowboys. And it made sense because obviously he went to college at Florida State, yeah. And then Dallas, he was like a star, right? He was also at like San Francisco, Atlanta, mm-hmm. Baltimore at one point.
Pedro Grifol was teammates with Deion on the baseball team at Florida State.
Nice.
Yeah, you want to talk about some stories, right?
Nice. I mean,
playing with Deion would have been awesome. So, yeah, Florida State was an option there for a hot minute. But Dallas, come on, man. Yeah. Like, it's just, you got
to
do it.
It sounds like this is one of those things that I think we already know the answer to it. But like you have mentioned before, like the, you know, Barnum of the NFL, Jerry Jones, like, right. Why make a decision now? You know, next week there's going to be only two football games and they're going to be on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And you have 6 days to own the entire week of media. And why not at that point, you know, on a Tuesday, be like, yeah, I've called Deion and I've asked him to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm waiting on a response. Wait Wednesday. Thursday, you announce, like, hey, I'm leaving Colorado. I'm going to Dallas.
Yeah.
I don't think it would shock a lot of people. I don't think it's the move Dallas should necessarily make because I don't know if Deion's even proven that he can be that guy in Colorado yet. I know Jackson State was successful, but let's be honest, it's Jackson State.
Yeah, but hey, 13 and 12 in Colorado, they were pretty good this year. You know, they weren't a bad football team.
But when they played big games when it mattered, they didn't always show up.
Right.
And that's one thing that I will admit, being a fan of theirs in the system that worked, they didn't show up. Now, again, Dallas and the pro, it's a different thing. And like we have always said, will his message or his, you know, swagger work with NFL players?
The answer, I don't think, is yes to that question. I don't think it will work, but I still think you need to make the hire because it's entertainment for all of us.
Yeah, well, it's a selfish hire for
us. Yeah, of course.
It's also Dallas. Like, the other thing, too, is...
Now, who else are you going to hire if you're the Cowboys? Right? You fired Mike McCarthy, who's a really good football coach, right? If you're Dallas and you bring in Lovie Smith... or Cliff Kingsbury or right. Somebody like that. Are you really getting better? Are you really doing what you want to do? Jerry Jones is about the sizzle, man.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that they can't talk to Kellen Moore, which I don't think they need to. Obviously, he's already been there. They know who he is.
Yeah,
he
knows does
who
that they move are. The needle either if you're Dallas?
I think if you're a fan of Dallas, I think it moves the needle. I think you're like, okay, this is a young guy, a coordinator that should have taken the job, but they gave it to McCarthy, who's whatever. But like, the only reason I think that Dallas and Deion makes a whole lot of sense is that Dallas has had some down times. And this move, whether they like it or not at the start, is going to get Dallas people and fans to kind of like sprout up early. It'll be an early spring for them because he is a superstar of a personality. Everybody in American sports knows who Deion Sanders is.
He's up there with Shaq and Charles Barkley, man.
I mean, he's a personality that everybody knows. Yeah. He's prime time. He's everybody know, like everyone from my generation between that and your generation and beyond that knows Deion.
Right.
And I think that's why maybe, and I don't think he, again, I can have a hot take all I want. I don't know what his success rate would be in the NFL, but I think he is one of those outliers of a head coach that talks to young people very well, where I think he would also.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Kind of be able to talk to the veterans too, where like they're like, dude, this is prime. Like, even though they're in their 30s, mid-30s, like I am, they would still be like, dude, I watched this guy grow up. He's a baller. I'm going to listen to what this guy has to say.
Right. Because
not a whole lot of guys in their 40s playing in the NFL. A lot of guys in their mid-20s, which, like, a guy like Micah Parsons would absolutely fold over for Deion. And I think a guy like Dak Prescott, same as well. And I think even the veteran linemen would be like, yeah, I grew up, this guy was a stud.
But they better win right away, because if they don't win right away, that message gets stale real fast. These rah-rah guys in the pros get really stale really fast when they don't win. It's all about balancing that winning.
Because you could almost say that Mike McDaniels is the same way. Like, he was kind of that guy that's like, I'm going to be the cool hip guy. There's guys on that team that are veterans.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Raheem Mostert's a veteran. That guy got along with him. But again, like you said,
as soon as the winning stopped, though,
if you start to fizzle, then it's all of a sudden like, all right, dude, it's not cute anymore.
And he's Mike McDonald. This is Deion Sanders we're talking about, too. Like, Deion's going to carry a little bit more than that guy down, you know, in Miami. But, no, I think this is a done deal for Dallas. I think it will be announced after the title game so Jerry can dominate the 2 weeks in between the title games and the Super Bowl, because, you know, he doesn't go to Super Bowl, so he has to find a way to insert himself into that. That's when I think that circus will be taking place between the AFC, NFC championship game and that Super Bowl. You got that 2 weeks, and Jerry will try to own those 2 weeks and make it all about him. That's what narcissistic people do, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the Super Bowl. Let me make it about me. I'll hire Deion Sanders. But the reason I think it's going to happen is pretty simple. The story was leaked yesterday, and I'm going to say by Deion's camp, which of course it was, that he went to Colorado this week on Tuesday and asked for more NIL money and more money for his assistant coaches. Apparently, he was met with resistance, according to Jane Slater, who's a reporter for the NFL Network. And so Jane's pretty good. I've seen her on NFL Network. Work and whatnot. So she's saying that Deion talked to the athletic director, said, I want more money for this, this, and this. And then he was met with resistance. The university would neither confirm or deny. Deion Sanders didn't respond when reached multiple times for comment. So I got to think this is Deion laying the groundwork saying, I wanted to stay at Colorado, but they wouldn't give me the resources necessary to have success. So you put the onus on Colorado, make them the bad guy. He can leave, go to Dallas, still be loved in Colorado. And now everybody's blaming this guy, Rick George, the Colorado AD, for not being able to keep Deion Sanders. It's a brilliant way to play it.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. And some people say, well, either way, he won't be able to work under Jerry Jones. I think Deion would have that clout. I know that sounds like a far stretch cry, but I think he would be like, man, I don't care what Jerry says. Shut up, man.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. He will work great with Jerry Jones because Deion will go, I'm out. Yeah. He'll just walk away. What does he care?
Or he'll just tell him to be quiet. It was like, Jerry, we've been through this before, man.
Right.
Like, you tried to calm me down as a player, right? Like, we don't do that, Jerry.
Jerry,
like,
you just go to your office, man. We got this. But the best thing about Deion is he is nostalgia. Nostalgia sells, and people in Dallas will love it because he was part of those teams that, you know, the last time Dallas was relevant and good, Deion Sanders was a member of that organization. So the fans will love it. It'll be great for what we do for a living. I think it'll be great for the NFL to have Deion Sanders on the sidelines. I'm excited about it. And I hate the Cowboys.
Yeah. I have a damn prime Cowboy hoodie here in a couple weeks. I'm kidding. I don't know if I'm kidding. Coming up on the other side, we get into what is important and what is eye-opening with these Kansas City Chiefs Plus. You ain't going to want to miss it. Playoff Mitch Holtis is going to be here in 25 minutes.
Oh, he's fired up.
You are going to be ready for that. The voice of the Chiefs will join us at 7:25, and all three of our voices will join you on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.